Can we call the meeting to order, please? Please note that we have a quorum. And we will start with item 6. Happy New Year. We have a motion before you. Do we have a report from staff about this motion?
Just briefly, I believe this motion is to allow cities to use their Measure R sub or subregions that get the Measure R sub fund to allow them to use their Measure R dollars for the call for the local match component. And just maybe perhaps a little bit of background. There hasn't been board policy on this issue, so it's a board policy issue. In the 2011 call, we actually it kind of came up in the middle of the call. The issue of whether Measure R was allowed for local match. And we made a staff direction at that time not to allow it, in essence, because three subregions received the highway funds, but the other cities didn't. And it's always a tough issue in looking at equity and balance. So at that time, we made a decision not to, just because some cities would be able to receive it and not others. And there are points awarded in the call, up to about 10 points for overmatching the local match. So the board, it's a total policy issue. The board could do it the way we did or change to what's before you today, and it's up to the board. Both are appropriate within the call structure.
Okay, and what will result once we make this decision is you won't have to come to us every year and ask us for approval of what you're doing, right?
I think in accordance with the motion, you've asked us to come back within 90 days and clarify how it would work, so we would come back and do that.
I get that, but once the decision is made, whether it's now or 90 days,
then it would be policy.
Have to come up. Yeah.
It would be policy.
All right, you have a motion before you have any.
I've got questions.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I just want to have a better understanding of what it is that's broke that we're trying to fix here, because, I mean, that's my first question. I mean, we're allowing Measure R money, which is locally generated dollars, then to be used for a local match also?
I believe what this motion would do, would allow the measure, the three subregions receive highway subfund money, which is available for certain eligible uses. So what this would allow would be those subfunds could be used as local match for the call for things that are eligible in the call. So to the extent that those three COGs have something that's eligible for Measure R and they want to use Measure R money for something in the call that's eligible, probably in the arterial category, this motion would allow them to use the local match. And I think we need
this would only allow them to use Measure R local return money for that. Is that clear?
No.
So it's not?
No. What it is that there are three subregions, the Arroyo Verdugo, Las Virgenes Malibu COG, and South Bay, who within the Measure R highway subfund were allocated earmark of dollars for highway improvements. Huh? These funds are in addition to the local return funds.
Right.
All the cities can use the local return funds as match.
Correct.
In the call. However, these 24 cities, I believe, would have additional Measure R funds that were allocated to them that the board approved how these funds could be used. Through this motion, they would be allowed to use those funds in addition to their Measure R local return dollars for local match.
Okay, well.
You have the floor. I'm confused.
Okay. It's contagious, so that makes at least two of us. So I get the local match part. That makes sense. It's local return dollars. The cities ought to be able to use it for what they want. They use that for a local match. I get that. I have no problem with that. But that's already possible under Measure R and under the local return provisions. That 15%, I believe it is, this goes back to locals. So now on top of that, they received Measure R money for what, though? Because you said they received Measure R money for something else, but they want to use it as their local match. But what did they want? What did they receive it for?
The Arroyo Verdugo and the Las Virgenes Malibu COG have a line item in the highway subfund that says operational improvements. And then we brought it through the 2009 long-range plan. The board adopted eligible uses for those funds. The South Bay cities have, it's for ramps and interchange improvements on the 110, 405, 91, I believe 105, 110. And it said ramps and interchanges, but again, through the 2009 long-range plan, the board adopted eligible uses for those funds, which included signal sync, intersection widenings, et cetera.
You said it's a line item for ops funds?
Highway operational improvements.
Which is different than ops funds.
But, I mean, that's different than, those are not funds that can be used for operations as we think of them in terms of bus ops or something like that. It's within a highway category.
Correct.
Okay. I guess what I'm confused about is that money was for something specific in terms of, you said signalization or ramps or metering or whatever it may be. Now they want to use it for a local match for those projects or a local match on other projects? See, because if they want to use it for...
It would be for, like, projects that would come through the signal sync category in the call, projects that would come through the RSTI category, and as well as bikeways and things like that were eligible uses.
I get that part. The part I don't get is... Brad, I don't know what I'm missing.
The part I don't get
is there's Measure R money in a line item in these subregions. It was put in the line item for a specific purpose, I assume, since we're not in the habit of parking money, because I don't believe we have money to park. So if we're not parking money, it was put in there, that line item, to be used for something specific. If that money is now allowed to be used for a local match, is that for a different project or for the original purpose the money was put in that subaccount? Because if it was the same purpose it's put in the subaccount, I think it's okay. But if it's money that, if it's to match on a project that it is not part of that subaccount, then you're leaving a hole in the subaccount and moving money to a different project. And that's where that's the piece I'm missing. And if somebody could help me with that, I would really appreciate it without drawing a diagram, which would be worse.
I'm going to ask Rena to correct me if I'm
wrong. Oh, God, Mr. Yale's here.
Uh-oh. Do you want to add anything?
The numbers oracle.
I think the strategy would be for these subregions to use the funds on the Measure R project, but leverage some call for projects money into the project as well. So it would be an eligible use of Measure R. It would have to be.
So my understanding is when the COG looks at the subregional highway money, they develop a 5-year list which comes to the board, and the board approves that list. And I think all three COGs have done that. So if a COG wanted to pick certain projects or one project or more that they wanted to, as David was saying, leverage call money with their Measure R, this motion would allow them to combine the two and use the Measure R as their local match, so they wouldn't have to come up with additional local match. They could use that Measure R money, and that would just be within those COG areas, the three COG areas that Rini mentioned that received these funds.
Okay, so it's a local match. It'd be used for the local match on projects that were anticipated when this money was put in that sub-account?
Let me make a suggestion. I understand this came up rather quickly. Could we get you to do an analysis and bring it back in February. Is there any sure. hurry with doing this?
There's no hurry because the call is still a ways off, so we'd be happy to do the analysis and come
back.
I'm
confused. He's confused.
I appreciate that. That's the piece I'm just trying to figure out, and I appreciate the chair's suggestion on that.
I think it has to do with sub. I think it's.
I mean, I'm okay.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I'd like to understand it.
Yeah, I'm okay with the idea if it's being used for the local match for the projects for which the sub-account was created. I'm not necessarily okay if it's being used for another project, which then creates a hole here that has to be filled because this now has been used for a local match over here. That's the piece that I'm trying to understand.
We'll go back and come back with a little more information on how it would work.
One quick question. What is the Las Virgenes areas project? Do you know?
Do you know Memorial.
Perhaps Doug Failing would like to come up. But they have a whole series of projects that the board approved. That's a five-year list of projects, which includes signal
Las Virgenes Cog approved.
According to the sheet, if I could, Madam Chair, it says highway operational improvements in Arroyo Verdugo subregion, highway operational improvements in the Las Virgenes Malibu subregion, and Doug will probably know exactly what those projects are.
Director Yaroslavsky, Director Katz, there's a series of projects that we brought before the board. The ones in Las Virgenes Malibu area were primarily signal synchronization, widenings, a couple of interchange improvements out in Agoura Hills, out near 101. So there's I don't have the list memorized with me. But
all right, this is going to be postponed for a month, so maybe just get me the list. I think I recognize most of them. Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah, we'll share those with the entire committee, the entire list.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Director Najarian would like to speak, and then Mr. Lance, I do have you here. So.
Hi, I didn't mean to sit in on this meeting, but I was having lunch, and I noticed there were some questions.
And a microphone.
And a
Look, I give you a hard time because you're running he's for re-election. No.
Okay. This was the intention.
Okay.
These particular subregions did not fare very well in the capital-intensive Measure R projects. The idea that the board had was to equalize them and to provide them some meager funds, to be able to let them decide on their own what projects they would like to develop, proceed, and move on with. So it gave a little bit of autonomy to the regions. This motion just says let those regions, those poor regions that don't have the great expo coming through or don't have the red line or don't have the busways, let them use that money as a match for the meager call for projects money that comes forth every 3 or 4 years. So,
trying to give them the 710 gap closure.
No. Let's get it.
That's a lot of highway money.
That's all the intention of this motion was to help them to develop projects that would, again, serve to better create a regional transportation network.
I'm happy to, and you've made a strong case. You've always made a strong case for doing that in the region. I just wanted to make sure that the funds aren't moving out of that category, so that we wind up with a hole in that category for the same regions. That's all. I mean, I'm happy to be flexible. I'm happy to help them do what they need to do. You've made that case, so we're tired of hearing about it. But, I just want to make sure we're not creating a hole somewhere else. That's all. I'm happy to help.
Right, and certainly it would not be our intention to create any undue budgetary or monetary pressure, fiscal pressure in any other portion. But I think the way it's intended, it would not do that.
And as we understand the motion, what we understand is you'd have to have a project that's eligible for the Measure R category and also eligible for the call, and so you're in essence trying to leverage. So I don't think it's creating the hole that Director Katz is concerned about.
But I appreciate the director's concern.
Yeah, my name is Steve Lance. I'm with the South Bay Cities COG in this current career iteration. I'm working on this project. I'm the program manager for the 30-year subfund program. And we've run into several issues, and they're very simple to understand. One city has a call for projects project, and it has a related Measure R project. yet they have to go through two separate applications, two separate funding agreements, two separate administrative processes, and we think it would be far more efficient for them to do it under one process where all the conditions are in one place, and we could build that project once rather than building it in two subsequent phases. Another example, City of Carson has funded Call for Projects projects using redevelopment funds. They've come to us and asked us if they lose those redevelopment funds, if we would be able to backfill with Measure R funds so that project could continue. We said we can't do it.
Okay.
And so what we're asking for is a more efficient process and a process that allows us to move the money in changing times so that these projects that have been committed to can be finished.
Okay. Now, do you have a time constraint?
We need to get these projects that are funded done in 5 years. We've committed to MTA.
Another month isn't going to be troublesome for you.
No, we don't have a month time constraint. We have a 5-year time constraint.
Okay. Thank you.
It's an MTA time frame constraint.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That would be a concern,
yes. That would be difficult.
Thank you, Mr. Lamb.
Thank you for your time.
So if there are no objections, we will ask the staff to come back with an analysis. Or do you want to go ahead with it?
I'd be happy. Since we all sort of seem to be in agreement, I think it's a drafting issue. I'd be okay with moving it to the full board without a recommendation, waiting to see the language, and that way we can deal with it next week.
Okay.
Yeah, and that way there won't be any delay. And because as I understand, we're all talking about the same thing. It's just how it's written. So, that'd be okay if it's okay with
any objections? Let's see it next week. Okay.
Madam Chair,
yes, sir.
Just to be clear, in the event, as we do the review of the words and think this through, if we come up with a concern, and we don't have one now, but if such happens, we'll bring that to the board's attention next week. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, number 7, funding for design and construction of bike path along Exposition Boulevard right-of-way. Who's up? And thank you. Yes, I did turn the mic back on. I heard somebody say that.
Okay. Good afternoon. This item is to set. We are requesting certain actions from the board associated with funding the design and construction of the bike path along the Exposition Boulevard right-of-way. As part of our recommendation, we're asking the board to accept the project sponsorship for the project and authorize a transfer of about $13 million in program funds from the cities of LA and Santa Monica. We're asking also to adopt a life of project budget of about $16.1 million for the project, to authorize the CEO to execute amendments to agreements with the Expo Authority that would accommodate this work for design and construction of the project. We're also asking to authorize the CEO to negotiate and execute funding agreements with both cities for their funding contributions towards the project and to execute corresponding license agreements for operating and maintaining the bike path on Metro's right-of-way. We're also asking that the FY12 budget be amended to increase revenues and expenses to the tune of $800,000 for the Expo Authority to begin work on the design and construction of the bike path. And finally, to approve a notice of proceed for that $800,000 for the Construction Authority for preliminary engineering associated with the project. Gladys Lowe and I are here. By the way, my name is Frank Flores, Executive Officer, Regional Capital Development. We're here to answer any questions that the panel may have.
I know the answer to this, but I want to hear it again. The funds have already been programmed for this project, right?
That's correct, yes.
Settlement, okay. That's important to me.
They've been programmed to the project to the cities, and right. Now we're taking ownership of them.
So this should not cost us anything beyond what has been programmed?
That's correct.
Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments?
I'll move it.
Second? Any? Second. Okay. Any objections? So ordered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we move on, I had the opportunity of meeting with a few folks before the meeting from the multi-agency exchange. They're folks from Denver, Dallas, and Los Angeles who are getting together and learning about how different agencies, the transportation agencies, run. And I see some of them in the back, so I just want to acknowledge them. And thank you for putting your time in to do something a little different in your work day. And those of you from Denver and Dallas, welcome to L.A. Denver, we don't have snow. And I don't know whether you do or not. And Dallas sometimes has snow, too. So anyway, welcome. We're glad you're here. And you look like you want to say something.
Yes, Madam Chair, I would. We're pleased to have our friends from Dallas and Denver here. I've told them that L.A. is by far the best place to work in the industry. So we hope that some of them will consider coming here in the future. What they're really doing is preparing for the death of the baby boomers to ensure that we have good, solid people to replace them. So glad to have you guys here.
But if you want to see a real meeting, come to the board meeting. That'll be you'll be able to tell stories back home about those. So
I did explain to them that I don't jump up and down a lot in the meeting and yell and scream, but they asked me if I would today, and I haven't had any reason to so far. So.
Oh, but just on the second item, though.
That's true. And maybe before the meeting, I'll just jump up and down. Next item on the agenda, number 8, intercounty agreements for optimizing use of federal highway apportionments, et cetera.
Let's see. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. Good afternoon. I'm David Yale, Deputy Executive Officer of Regional Programming here. If I can find my, I have a brief PowerPoint here just to explain the difference between apportionment and obligational authority. There. Congress has historically created two different types of funding that they apportion to states for use of federal funds. The authorizers develop the apportionment or contract authority, and the appropriators develop the obligational authority. The beakers at the top here represent the contract authority and the punch, if you will, in the obligation limitation picture is the funding. You need to have both in order to be able to use federal funds. The obligational authority expires every year. The contract authority does not. So Caltrans can use the obligational authority flexibly to make sure that it's used up every year. They can fill one beaker all the way up and leave another partially filled. We have found in the past that some counties are able to fill their beaker all the way and then will not be able to use any more obligational authority. Well, another county cannot use all their obligational authority in a year and will need additional beaker capacity, if you will, or have additional beaker capacity that could be transferred to the other county. This report simply authorizes the CEO to engage in exchanges between the years with SCAG counties to optimize the use of our apportionment. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about it. I hope I haven't muddled this up further.
Any questions from any members of the board? And seconded. No objections. So ordered. Next item.
Thank you.
Nice pictures and buckets.
Yes, I liked that. Was very
nice
good.
Graphics, David. Yeah. Is that new program we got? That new software?
Taylor Yard Bikeway Pedestrian Bridge over Los Angeles River. You're on.
Yes, go ahead. Good afternoon, board members. Item number 9 requests your concurrence regarding a grant of $1,073,000 to the City of Los Angeles for design of the Taylor Yard Bike and Ped Bridge. We are also requesting that you authorize Mr. Leahy to execute the attached MOU. We already worked out all the conditions within the MOU with the City of LA. And then we're also requesting that you add $400,000 to this year's FY12 budget to allow for activities to take place on the project in this fiscal year. Any questions?
Questions? You go. No, I have some questions.
Oh, go ahead. I'll just move it for now. And then.
Okay, you can move it.
Thanks.
What happens if there are insufficient funds to cover the cost of the design?
Basically, we've only committed to $1,073,000 to get the design done. And the City of LA has basically assured us that they're comfortable with the amount of funding for the design, which is $1.4 in total, because LA is bringing in $327,000. But they need this done in order to. It's like any other call for projects MOU. We only commit to the amount that we commit to, and they have to deliver.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is we shouldn't run out of funds.
No, we shouldn't.
Okay. Is the City of Los Angeles wholly responsible for construction?
We say in this board report that we've made no commitment to the construction, whether it's funding or otherwise. I would think when the time comes, we've talked to the City of LA. They are looking to identify additional funds through the Department of Water and Power, which is the one that's coming through with the 300 and some odd thousand. And they would, I would see, yes, envision them as being the constructors of this, okay. Not Metro.
And you mentioned call for projects. Will the construction qualify for future call for projects, do you think?
It could qualify. It certainly is eligible within the bike category. Given the limited amount of funding, quite frankly, that we've had for bikes in every call, I don't anticipate, again, I will defer ultimately to the people who are my management, but I don't anticipate that we would be looking to fund a project this big, because it would not, it would preclude us from funding other efforts.
Okay, so let me, if I can, just encapsulate what you've told me. We feel we have enough money for the design.
Yes.
We believe if there are more funds needed, that the City of Los Angeles will look to their sources to get more funds.
Yes.
And though it may be eligible for call for projects, it's certainly not a shoe-in.
Absolutely. Okay. You said it perfectly.
Okay, thank you. Those are the questions I needed answers to, and you answered them. Thank you.
My pleasure.
So I do have a motion, second. No objections. So ordered. Thank you very much for your report. Next item, congestion management program, congestion mitigation fee study.
We're seeking your approval to modify the existing contract with Cambridge Systematics by $345,000 for the congestion mitigation fee study. To complete the phase of work, we're currently on looking at Nexus pilot studies with each of the COGs and finishing the technical modeling work necessary to do that. As we've been out talking to COGS, there's been interest looking at economic analysis as part of the work we're doing in doing Nexus studies, looking at the feasibility of individual projects submitted by cities. And so we're recommending adding that to the contract as part of the $345,000. The reason why we're coming is because as we've gone through the Nexus work, not only have we been working with the COGS, but we've met with every city in the county probably 3 or 4 times, and it's just been a deeper, more intensive effort than we initially expected. But approving this modification will allow us to complete the pilot studies that are currently underway. They're pretty close to being complete. We also want to go back to the COGS and get feedback regarding their reaction to the pilot studies and whether they think the idea is feasible or whatever concerns they might have. And we would plan to come back to the Metro Board probably late summer with kind of a recommendation based on the work that we've done and the feedback that we received from COGS and cities. So that will kind of be the decision point. This effort just allows us to finish work that's pretty close to being complete. There's also a motion on this item, and I don't know if you want me to describe the motion as well at this time or...
You can, or I have some notes that I can describe. Oh. It doesn't matter. I might be briefer. On behalf of, let me tell you what it is, then, of Directors O'Connor, Najarian, and Huizar, I'd like to introduce a motion for item number 10. I will not read the motion. You should have it in front of you. And the reason I'm not going to read it is because it's very long. It calls for... Well, let me back up. Last year, our board adopted the Active Transportation Agenda in an effort to promote new strategies to improve first and last mile connections to transit facilities, promote walking and biking for short trips to reduce congestion on streets and freeways, and ensure the needs of pedestrians and bicyclists are considered and addressed in planning and or design of projects that Metro funds or implements. During the process of conducting the congestion mitigation fee study, the participating jurisdictions have identified a large list of bicycle-related projects they wish to undertake to help relieve congestion, such as the integrated mobility hubs that include bike-sharing facilities as a way to mitigate the impact of growth in their communities. However, bicycle-related projects have not been modeled in this study. Thus, the benefit of these bicycle and pedestrian projects, integrated mobility hubs particularly, cannot be quantified in a similar manner as intersection improvements and roadway capacity projects. Directors O'Connor, Najarian, and Huizar have asked me to bring in this motion on their behalf. And the motion is very simple in its intent. It is seeking to add funding to the existing contract so as to undertake the development of this modeling capacity so that the cities throughout Los Angeles County can quantify the benefit from bicycle and pedestrian-related projects in their efforts to reduce congestion. And my understanding is the reason that it was here is not just because of the congestion management program, but because Cambridge Systematics is particularly well-placed to do this kind of a study. Is that pretty much the... sense of it?
That's correct. This is looking at bicycle modeling is kind of state of the art. It's new work. We do have them under contract for the congestion mitigation fee, and they have experience in doing some modeling work, which is cutting edge in places like Philadelphia, Raleigh, Portland, even in Austin, Texas. So they're kind of leading the effort across the nation in this new area.
Okay, and let me, before I go to questions from the board, Mr. Lance has asked to speak again, and he was helpful last time, so maybe if he speaks, we won't have so many questions. Or maybe we'll have more.
One of the requirements of the Measure R program is to prove a nexus to the regional network, and we would absolutely support this. Our South Bay is looking for pedestrians and looking for bicycle solutions to take the congestion away from trying to get to the freeway in your car. A lot of our trips are local, and we can eliminate trips and handle them more in a more neighborhood-friendly way, but we have to be able to prove that these projects work against the more concrete-oriented projects that can be modeled. So RCOG absolutely supports you doing this analysis and welcomes having, for the first time, a working pedestrian and bikeway model.
Thank you. My understanding, and I'm frantically looking for it here, is that it would add $1.5 million maximum to the study. Is this correct?
That's correct.
So what we'd be approving in this, if we adopt this as well, is 2.4 and 1.5, which is 4.95 million, right?
So it would be the the $345,000 addition to the contract from our board motion plus up to $1.5 million that would come through the budget process.
So we'd add another, okay. It's talked about going to $2.4 million, so we want to add $1.5 to that, right?
Right, right.
Makes it 3.9.
Right, that's correct.
Okay. Are there any questions from my colleagues? Second? No objections? So ordered. Next item is number 11. See back there? I don't have any reason to jump up and down. It's an unusual day. I-5 South Project, Prop 1B, Corridor Mobility Improvement Program Contingency Plan. You're on.
Yes, Madam Chair. This is an item to authorize the CEO to execute an agreement should it be necessary in order to protect the CMIA funds that are designated for us here in Los Angeles County. This is a part of the original Proposition 1B grant funds that we all voted on so many years ago. Unlike the other pots, CMIA has a use-it-or-lose-it date. That date is December of this year for all those contracts to be awarded. We're working very closely with Caltrans. In fact, Mr. Miles has done presentation on I-5 itself here a number of times. And we're working together exceedingly well. In fact, is really thanks need to go out to Michael Daniels and Velma Marshall and our own right-of-way department at Metro for helping push Caltrans over the edge and getting their projects delivered on I-5. But there's a couple of other projects as well. We're asking you to authorize the CEO, should there be need at the last minute, to move money between projects, keeping all these projects funded so that we can keep these CMIA funds here in Los Angeles County. And Frank Kwan and I are here if there's any questions.
Thank you. Any questions?
Move it.
Okay, and I'll second it. I want to commend staff on the strategy. I think it's brilliant. So.
Thank you.
Yes?
I would like to know, I just drove by the I-5 last Friday, and it seems hard to believe, but actually major property takes are already underway in property site. Work has begun on the I-5 widening. So this is the freeway was built in the 50s, so this is a landmark project.
Yeah, this piece hasn't been touched since the 50s either, so it's about time someone did something.
So we're finally going to have a freeway where you don't just have to sit and smell the carbon dioxide and get a suntan, right?
No, ma'am. You'll be able to breeze through and admire how nice it looks in L.A. County.
There you go. So we have a motion and a second.
Yep.
No objections. So ordered. Next item on the agenda, I-710 South Corridor Project North Utility Relocation Study.
Yes, Madam Chair, again. This is the I-710 big project from the ports up to, Route 60. Much like we let a early utility contractor take a hard look at the very south end of the project, very complex section, it's turning out to be very fortuitous for us that we did that. We're finding great ability to save money. We find that we would like to do the same thing at this very north segment. Again, it's an isolated, kind of unique little thing. We're putting a team together just to look at this in anticipation of saving us great pain and money down the road. So we have a contract to award, a team that's competed for it, and we look forward to moving forward with this project.
Thank you. I owe an apology to Dr. Williams. He had asked to speak on item number 11 and number 12. So how about 2 minutes for this one? Could you do that, Dr. Williams?
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council, also Northeast LA Coalition. Issue, shell games, 6, 8, 11, 12, they're all how to move money around, irrespective of what Measure R said and what was agreed to and voted on. Now, the issue here is Skaggs has already done a whole bunch of things on the RTP. It shows I-710 South, SR-710 North. They assume those are in place. Working north of I-5 on the 710 eventually will come to deal with the SR-60 truckway. Is this segmentation of one overall freight mobility project. That is, how to get freight out of the port and to either the High Desert Corridor or Colton. So moving monies around, trying to save our money by switching their original purposes and needs, seems to be like a shell game. So why not stick with the original intent of Measure R, Measure This, Prop A, rather than providing slush funds for anyone that needs it, and who's going to eventually decide on who needs what and when? Basic issue, anything dealing with the I-710 is a problem as to what's going to happen to the 5. They're related. If you have the I-5 south, I-5 north completed, how about the I-5 downtown? That will be eventually a project. We all know it. It's a question as to segmentation of the 710 and the I-5. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. You have any questions from the board on number 12? Motion?
Move it.
Second? Any objections? Move on. Item 13, 2012 solicitation for proposals for federal job access and reverse commute and new freedom program funds. Here we are.
Good afternoon again. I'm Frank Flores, Executive Officer of Regional Capital Development, and with me is Asad Hamideh, the Project Manager for the JARC and New Freedoms Program. What we are asking the board to do is to approve 4 actions. Approve the funding marks of about $30 million, $21.6 million for the Federal Job Access and Reverse Commute Funds, and $9.3 million in federal new freedom funds. Therefore, our fourth cycle, or the FY12 solicitation for proposals. We're also asking the board to approve the JARC and New Freedom Program application package, which is shown in attachment A. Authorize staff to update the consolidated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan, also known as Consolidated Plan, and to amend the FY12 budget to add 2 full-time equivalent positions to be funded with 100% federal funds so we can manage and administer the JARC and New Freedom Program monies of over $30 million in addition that we're getting on top of the $30 million we're currently managing in these programs. We're here to answer any questions you may have with regards to our recommendation.
Madam Chair, I'd like to just comment on the 2 positions. This has been somewhat controversial with board staff, but also within MTA staff. I agreed to include them in this report, but I wanted to establish the context for you. We have an important program here we need to move, so establishing the positions so we can begin the recruitment, I think, is appropriate. At the same time, I want you to know that separate from that, although related, is that the budget folks are doing a review of all FTEs, all positions in all MTA departments. We will come back to the board with a proposed budget that will report the result of that analysis. The goal is to see whether we have FTEs that might be reallocated from one function to the next to reflect our priorities in the coming year. We would asterisk these 2 positions and review them again with the board as part of the budget approval process for next year following the completion of the FTE evaluation I've just cited.
Any comments from, yes?
I mean, I think I understand what Art's saying. I want to make sure that the budget item reflects wording relative to the budget into this.
That's certainly good. By the way, I should also note here, we are being very diligent. When a given FTE is allocated to a given project paid for with grant funds, when that project is done or those funds expire, that position goes away. We're not going to, have them
fade into the background, if you will. So we'd be happy to asterisk this and to show no on the in the resolution.
Great.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Although I circled the FTEs, when I looked at the application, we have 11 pages of, I don't know, it seems to me that it's very, very detailed, and maybe that's why you need two people. You've got 11 pages of project narrative, and I guess that seems like a lot to me. Is there any way for staff to simplify this application so that you don't have to be a PhD to fill it out?
We've discussed this with your staff, and we've agreed to take another look at it.
Okay.
Keeping in mind that we do have to follow federal requirements, and we have gotten a hold of applications that have been developed by Caltrans, MTC in the Bay Area, and also SANDAG, and we're going to see if we can do something comparable to try and simplify, reformat our application in that manner.
So why don't we take it as staff's goal to prepare the simplest application possible consistent with the appropriate rules?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
And with that in mind, that and the asterisk FTEs, I guess my question is, do we need to see the application again? It just looks to me like it's gone way out of proportion, and no wonder you need two people. I mean, you know.
What we can do is, Mr. Leahy has pointed out, we'll take another look at the application. We'll provide it. We'll provide the application along with comparable applications from other agencies.
Okay.
So you can see what is required and what is not, and maybe get your blessing on it.
Okay, so you'll bring it back to this committee? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Well, we can surely send the applications around before the board meeting, but we need to get moving on the solicitation in order to meet a July deadline. And it takes time to do workshops and get the proposals back from the agencies in order to evaluate them.
So let's proceed with the work, and meanwhile we'll work thoughtfully on the application process, and as promptly as we can we'll come back and share that with the board.
Okay.
And ask for comments.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Any objections to what you have before you? Have a motion? No motion. Second. No objections. You have your marching orders.
With the language we discussed in all.
The language we discussed,
cool.
Yes.
Thank you.
FTE language and the abbreviated, hopefully, application. State Route 710 environmental document. I know that there's something.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you, Linda Bybee, DEO Regional Communications, and Susan Gilmore, Director of Constituent Programs for Metro. This is to a companion contract for the outreach to the technical contract that was approved by the board in October. This is for the outreach on the environmental study for SR 710.
Okay. Any questions?
This is the contract that came before us before and was messed up in the process?
Yeah, we backed up and we're back again. We think we have remediated the issues which existed at that time.
Okay.
I have one question. It's an independent geological consultant. How is that person going to work with the geological experts from the environmental team?
Very often when we're out in the community meetings, it's advantageous to us to have someone who can serve as a technical narrator on these matters. And this affords the outreach portion that opportunity. And it's an on-call basis.
Okay, they've just been beamed in. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about a $3.9 million public participation piece, for an independent geological consultant who's going to come out and talk to the people?
No. This is for the complete outreach program. And this has a 41% participation by small business. And this was a team that is comprised of a variety of sub-consultants to address the diversity of the area that we will be addressing for this environmental study. We have environmental justice areas that are important to this study, as well as diverse ethnic and cultural backgrounds. So this team represents the opportunity to reach out to those communities. And there are some very important conflicts that need to be addressed as we move through the issues related to this study.
Thank you, Linda. Any questions? I do have some public comment. Dr. Tom Williams, to be followed by Lee Dolly.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council, and about 25 years experience with the 710 mess. It's still messed up. One of the issues, I went through the CEQA process where we started with notices, then involvement, then participation. So I know the difference between involvement and participation. There should be no involvement in this. It should be every time participation, because that's what CEQA requires, participation, not involvement. Outreach, yeah, you need it. So, geotechnical, why? Are you already presuming that it's going to be a tunnel? You need a transportation expert on that group, because this is all about transportation. So send it back and have them do it right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. Mr. Dolly?
So, well, he's coming up, if I could ask.
Yes.
Marie. I assume it's normal to have geotech involved in something like this, because you do geotech not just for subways or tunnels, as the doctor was implying, but you do geotech for structures of any sort, whether they're above ground or below ground.
That's correct.
So we're not implying anything by identifying a geotech. That's part of the process.
No, as a matter of fact, in the scoping process, there were many alternatives, and that's as I said, this would be on an as-needed basis anyway.
Thanks.
Members of the committee, Lee Dolly, I would like to mention that I've been involved some 40 years in this project. And I think Mr. Williams is a youngster compared to me. I did just want to say that we do have before you a significant moment. We have the contract already in place for all the technical things that are going to have to happen. We're looking forward to that. This puts the other half together, and this is the outreach part of the program. Now we have a team. We have everything that's needed to do an EIR. Every question that has been asked by us, by any of the folks here, can be answered in that process, and that's where it should be answered, within the EI process, rather than piecemeal. So we urge you, of course, please pass this resolution.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments from the board? Moved, seconded. Any objections? So ordered.
Thank you.
Item number 15, high-speed rail through Southern California.
Madam Chair, while Don's coming up,
yes.
I should remind the committee that the executive director of the high-speed authority resigned last week. It was also announced that the new chair of the high-speed board will be Dan Richard. We have worked closely with the new chair and the board over the past couple of months, and we see some big improvements occurring. We see some big improvements in terms of openness to the requirements of Los Angeles, in terms of commitment to coming into Union Station, in terms of understanding the need to connect the South with the North, and not simply do a project in mid-corridor. So we think we've had some very constructive discussion. It is in that context that Mr. Sepulveda is here to talk about an MOU. I want to make one comment on the MOU, and that is it does not give It does not give the high-speed authority to do carte blanche, whatever they want to do in Los Angeles. We will continue to be their active partner. We will continue to offer our input to them. And at any time we should find that the project is in any fashion unsatisfactory, we would bring that to the attention of the board and take the appropriate actions at that time. Don?
We're waiting for technology to connect up.
Outline the high points of the MOU, please. By the way, there's a deadline on this. There's about seven or eight agencies that have to sign this, so we are under an urgent time imperative to get this approved by the board.
What you have before you is a recommendation to authorize the CEO to execute an MOU among eight agencies for the preparation, study, design, and construction of high-speed rail through Southern California, including an identified high-speed rail corridor south of Bakersfield. Also, to support the authorization of $950 million, and this thing is supposed to have gone already. Hold on. There we go. It doesn't... to support the authorization of $950 million in connector projects already authorized by Proposition 1A. The background of this, we are a member agency of SCAG, the Metrolink, and also the Losan Corridor JPA. So and the significance is we have significant right-of-way involved that high-speed rail is going to be running on. We have an existing collaboration MOU with high-speed rail. We're working on another MOU to replace that would actually reimburse us for work that we'd be doing to support the project. We have funds for the regional connector that have been obligated under Proposition 1A, and the board passed a motion in November to develop a list of candidate projects in L.A. for advanced investment. We've been working with the high-speed rail folks and other agencies to develop HSR, specifically some issue resolution, developing projects with independent utility. And we've also been working very closely with them to develop the blended approach and how it's going to work for Southern California. And specifically the connection to Palmdale. Right now we do not have a north-south connection for rail in California. The connection to Palmdale would complete that. What we've been identifying is various projects throughout Southern California that can be included in this list for advanced investment. And the green, you'll see the green dots are relative. There's many more projects that's shown there. Those are just kind of an idea on the measles map. But what this does, this provides for the investment of up to $1 billion in Southern California in 1A funds for high-speed rail advanced work and high-speed rail corridors. It creates an environment of partnership and synergy in the region. It provides benefits that actually benefit not just the high-speed rail, but also existing commuter and intercity rail corridors in our region. We do allow that the parties can exit the agreement at any time. The parties accept the high-speed rail authority. And it defines that separate MOUs will govern separate projects. What it does not do is it does not provide blanket support for HSR alternatives in Southern California. We have some significant work to do further in that process, specifically in San Gabriel Valley. It does not allow high-speed rail to define the projects for investment in the region. We are taking the lead in developing this project list. Does not approve designs and engineering for high-speed rail and projects in California. Those will be done on a specific case-by-case basis. So, as I say, we are asking that you approve authorize the CEO to execute this MOU or to move forward this MOU with these understandings. Is there any questions?
Is there a draft MOU somewhere at this point?
There is a draft MOU, and it is attached to the board report.
And can you just highlight for me the high points of that cooperative agreement?
Sure. The cooperative agreement identifies the baseline for cooperation on a list of projects that will be selected using a prioritization strategy for advanced investment in Southern California of up to $1 billion by the High Speed Rail Authority. It sets the ground rules for this in that they are prioritized. We set the rules. Essentially, they do not. And it provides an understanding, a platform, if you will, for this advanced investment.
Say projects.
Talking projects that would be, for example, grade separation projects in Southern California that could be grade separating our corridor. And while grade separating high-speed rail, it also grade separates Metrolink and Amtrak. bridges such as that, which benefit the community, benefit all of us. Capacity improvement projects, for example, in San Fernando Valley, we have a significant amount of single-track territory. We have projects in there to double-track that area. We have grade crossing improvements showing up in these projects. We have grade separations down in through the LA-Anaheim segment.
And this is all being paid for by the high-speed rail bond?
This would be paid for by high-speed rail bond and other sources of funding that high-speed rail gets.
What are the other sources of funding?
It could be ARRA funding. It could be other federal funding. There's yet to be determined funding sources. What this does is this provides some state match for funds. It also allows municipal agencies to have a wider palette to obtain funding on their part.
So the high-speed rail funds are being used to fund things other than. I mean, some of the things you've indicated sound to me like they're not directly related to high-speed rail. Double-tracking lines in the San Fernando Valley, is that for high-speed rail lines?
When high-speed rail comes into the San Fernando Valley along that San Fernando Road corridor, they're going to have to move the existing railroad tracks to the side of the corridor to allow for space, and at the same time we are insisting that they double-track that at the same time. So what we would do is we would have that project as a move the track out of the way and advance it and double-track it in the interim before high-speed rail gets there. And the idea is to get in there and do that, and then high-speed rail can, when they're building, they can just build in, and we don't have to disrupt ourselves more. So that would be a project that would show independent utility for high-speed rail. Some of the other projects that we have on the list, for example, we have on the list a double-track project on the Ventura line in the San Fernando Valley. And that line is not a high-speed rail corridor. That would be what we call a feeder corridor. It would not necessarily be eligible for 1A funds, but other pots of money as they should come up.
And does Metro counting on the high-speed rail bond to pay for part of the regional connector or for the regional connector?
Yes, sir. There is a significant amount of money in the regional connector that are part of Proposition 1A. Proposition 1A has $9.95 billion allocated in it, but identified. $950 million has been formally identified in various regional connector projects throughout the state of California, of which the regional connector is part of it.
Let me, Zev, on that. The $950 million we're talking about, which is the 1A money that's the regional connector money and PTC money, has already been allocated. I mean, and that money's been divided. And what we've been pushing on high-speed rail to say, and last week when they were down, and Karen Hegland, who's the assistant administrator for FRA, was here, we were saying, look, if high-speed rail has said they're not using the money, release the money. If you don't want to use the money, you have no need for it. It's not part of your budget. Release the money. And they're still hemming and hawing, which is what leads all of us to believe that they're really eyeing that as a fallback. And we've made it very clear that $950 that's been allocated is not for high-speed rail, but that transportation agencies, especially ours, OCTA, and others, will oppose any attempt to divert that money, even if it means killing the high-speed rail project. Because that money, that 1A money, is money that's committed for projects here, safety projects and high-priority projects. And high-speed rail, you know, needs to back off if that's in case their intention, which is what we intend to hold them to. But having said that, part of the money that and the routes that Don's talking about, the one of the drivers from the federal government, which is actually one of the things that was done right on high-speed rail, was a requirement for independent utility when the money's spent, so that if high-speed rail, for whatever reason, isn't built, it doesn't become a bridge to nowhere or Highway 41 in Fresno or all that sort of stuff. So projects like improving the Antelope Valley line, which would have to be done anyhow and would serve a joint purpose for high-speed rail and for Metrolink, are the kinds of things they will fund. They'll put money into the connector because it's a feeder into high-speed rail, or they'll put money into projects like the Ventura line because they've come around finally after pushing back for a year or two on it, the notion that Metrolink, Burbank Airport, MTA, folk, you know, who operations like ours are how they get their passengers. So they're now reexamining their position, understanding they can't survive without us. So they're willing to spend money that can be used, again, on projects that are that have independent utility, but further also the goal of high-speed rail. So that we're trying to, frankly, to be honest with you, we're trying to scoop up as much of that as we can and, you know, move projects. We've told them that if they want to show a commitment to Southern California while they're going through all this stuff, that what they ought to look at, the Antelope Valley line, which is critical, and they ought to look at grade separations in L.A. and Orange County as two kinds of projects that have independent utility but are very critical to all of our constituents now, if we can get that money up front and have a benefit to high-speed rail. So I don't know if that is more confusing or helps. But
when did the decision get made to put put the regional connector funds in the – is it the Prop 1A bond? Is it – that wasn't part of the bond itself. That was a subsequent decision.
It is part of the legislation in 1A.
Specifically calls out the regional connector?
Yes, sir, among other projects. Yes, sir.
What other local projects here in L.A. County?
There is money allocated for Metrolink for positive train control and rehab and other projects.
I guess I'm asking, what other transit projects, like the regional connector? Any other transit projects?
I am not aware of any other metro-related transit projects in Southern California that are in 1A. I do know that there are other transit projects in other parts of the state. BART has a significant amount of money and some other folks. This was developed based on a formula that the leaders throughout the state, transit leaders throughout the state, came up with, and that's how they allocated this money.
Well, I'd like to know more about how that came about. Formulas are formulas. And anyway.
Would you like us to schedule a meeting to kind of go over this?
Yeah, I would.
Yes, sir.
Because nothing would feed the high-speed rail more than the extension of the red line. If you're looking for feeder lines, so I'm just trying to figure out how that decision got made and by whom and when. And
we'd be happy to have the discussion. Now, obviously, we're moving forward on the subway and the connector. The last few months have been very, very eagle-eyed.
One appears to be moving, and the other appears to be...
I hope we'll be able to say that both are moving soon, but we certainly don't want to have that $250 reallocated to a different county.
Yes, we want that $950 that's allocated to state,
so
of course.
So let's create the history, Don, and we'll come back and see the
supervisor. Yes, I've got it written on my list.
Don, was that part of 1B? Were those bonds sold yet, or is that the spring bond sale?
Those bonds have not been sold yet. The CTC has been holding that one up, and it's my understanding also that the previous governor has vetoed it several times.
Yeah, because he was trying to shift it all to high-speed rail at that point. But I understand the Treasurer is going to go out for a spring bond sale and a fall bond sale. High-speed rail is not going in the spring bond sale. It would be, my understanding is that the 1A money is supposed to be in that spring bond sale, but that's up to the Treasurer's office. But it would be a good time to let them know.
What is the time frame of the sale and revenue that we would receive?
I believe it's the spring bond sale, but I don't know how the revenue flows after that.
Are you referring to the funds that are identified in the MOU, sir? We have a deadline of allocation of funding for the high-speed rail to fund this at 2020.
But the governor has to sell the sell the bonds, right?
That's correct.
When he has to do that in the spring, right?
They generally do two bond sales a year, a spring and a fall bond sale.
I am not sure on how the bond sales will serve.
The question is, when do we receive the revenue from those sales after the bonds are sold?
That would be based on project scheduling and project timeline and allocation, and how they allocate the bonds, and that has not been worked out yet.
So you're looking at 2014?
We're looking at 2020 as a deadline as a deadline for the last amount of it, but it would happen up until then.
We were going to use some of that to straighten the rails in Antelope Valley.
Right.
Are you looking at 2020 or are you looking at 2013?
I don't know the answer to that.
No, but, Don, the money from the spring bond sale should be available for allocation by the CTC by the fall, because they'll sell the bonds, you know, when the bond sale takes place. It's not a long, drawn-out process. It's a pretty quick process. And then it's just a question of allocating the proceeds. And my understanding is, you know, because the state's dependent on that money as well, that,
fall.
You know, I my guess would be summer, if not
this summer.
Yeah, we'd have access to the dollars. I mean, then it's up to the CTC to formally allocate them. But once the bonds are sold, that shouldn't be a big problem. But we can get a calendar for that.
And it's up to the prioritization that is done inside the MOU.
Okay, we've talked about a lot of lofty things. The one thing I want to know is, should we move forward with this, how the MTA is going to help the local jurisdictions when there are issues, as there have been in the past?
Madam Chair, I've offered the High Speed Authority office space when they appoint a Southern California agent in this building. I've offered just recently again to assist them in community relations outreach with all corridors southeast as well as San Gabriel Valley and up to the north. We will be doing outreach as well to the independent cities. We are quite aware of the history of the High Speed Authority with the cities in Los Angeles County. It would be our intention to be fully involved at every step with those cities to ensure that we have a cooperative, collegial set of relationships occurring, unlike we've had in the past. We'll also be working, by the way, to ensure that we are creating synergy with places like the Burbank Airport, with Union Station and things of that nature. Again, those are discussions which have been difficult in the past, and we're now seeing some progress.
Thank you. Dr. Tom Williams. You changed your name. Was it only?
It's a new year.
Clyde. Tom.
Dr. Tom Williams, L.A. 32 Neighborhood Council, and more specifically, the Northeast L.A. Coalition.
So is that AKA now, or is that is that as an AKA or a is that your pen?
Full name is Clyde Thomas Williams. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, and we put you back to one minute, so.
Yeah. Thank you. Most important for us is that we've made comments on California high-speed rail, especially in the Los Angeles and Alhambra area. If you look at your presentation, there are projects already placed on the I-10 corridor rather than the SR-60 corridor. Big issue. Are you already presuming that I-10 will be the corridor? Some questions there. And also on the Cypress Park and Glasgow Park projects, advanced projects. These have already been discussed. Go underground for that section from Fletcher down to Union Station, all underground. Can be done, piece of cake tunneling. What we're concerned about is that this is already announcing a lot of projects, whereas for high-speed rail in the Los Angeles County area, why not put it all with Lausanne? Make sure that Lausanne is served first before California high-speed rail. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. Any more questions? I have an item before you. What is your pleasure?
Move it. Now, did we amend it, or just we just clarified as we were?
I think so. I don't recall any amending.
Do you want a motion, or do you want to?
I would abstain.
Why don't we just move it to the full board then without make it easier and let the board discuss that way?
That's fine. And that's what we'll do is move it to the full board, unless there's a burning desire to pass it through.
Yeah, it's high-speed rail.
We'll move it slowly to the full board. Right. Next item on the agenda, number 16, Southern Skag draft, there you are, 2012 Regional Transportation Plan and Sustainable Community Strategy. I'll trade you.
Yeah, SCAG has completed its draft Regional Transportation Plan, Sustainable Community Strategy is out for review. We've completed our review of it, and we're seeking your approval of our comment letter. We've worked closely with SCAG. We've been very pleased with the relationship we've had with them, and we're very comfortable with the document as it's released. And just real briefly, the Regional Transportation Plan includes all of the projects that from Metro's funded portion of the long-range plan. And they do identify a few projects beyond the long-range plan that I don't believe the board has taken any direction on. They're proposing that they be funded with innovative funding beyond Metro funds, and those projects are the East-West Freight Corridor, high-speed rail, an expanded hot lane network, which would include the 405 and the 91, and increased funding to some of the active transportation modes, as well as TDM, TSM. And they've identified an issue that operation and maintenance is a problem for the region in that there's not enough funding that's coming through to maintain our programs collectively across the five-county region. Just real simply, we had three comments on their plan and a few technical comments. We commended them for doing extensive outreach and meeting the new SB 375 requirements. We did note the projects that were beyond Metro funding and that we assume that they're being funded with innovative funding that SCAG has identified. And we've asked SCAG to make a reference to the 3010 program as kind of an innovative opportunity to bring new money into the revenue in the vein of self-help strategies. I think Asana Crotta will be here at the full board meeting and providing you a presentation, but we're pleased with the document. And we also have a number of minor technical comments, but those are the basic comments that we have. And given that there's some policy issues in the plan, so far we haven't heard any concern about the plan as a whole. I think the East-West Corridor perhaps is the most controversial project, given that it's an alignment issue and a freight issue. But with that, I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
Any questions from the board? I have two who want to speak, Malcolm Klugman and Dr. Tom Williams.
We all have to acknowledge Eric Mann's brilliance in making bus riding a civil rights issue, even whether you agree or not with it. It was a brilliant idea. It's been for 17 years you've been dealing with it. The only problem is that it involves poor people who probably could not afford a car anyhow. So what you're supposed to be doing is lowering greenhouse gases. So what you're trying to do now is lower greenhouse gases by building more rail projects, thus getting people who will magically get out of their cars and start using public transportation. What you have to do, the reality is, you have to restrict single-occupancy vehicles coming into downtown and other major areas at rush hour. If you don't do that, this isn't going to work.
Thank you. Dr. Williams?
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council. Guess what? There's a conflict between MTA and SCAGs regarding freight modeling. In SCAGs RTP, they provide a freight modeling for the San Gabriel Valley, 60, 10, and 210. They project what the actual truck freight will be in the year 2035. They presume that 710 North will be completed by 2035, and that it will be a toll tunnel, and they even give an alignment for it. And therefore, they already have modeled the 710 traffic for freight. Does it include the High Desert Corridor? We don't know, because they didn't provide that part. But this is a wrong development. Which is favored, MTA or SCAGs? Because you're going to come up with different numbers. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments? A motion, second. No objections. Item's been approved. Next item, bike share concept report, approved bike share strategy.
Good afternoon, directors. We are presenting here the report that was requested from us when you introduced a motion back in June last year. And then Sherzad and staff are ready here to present at least three major elements of the work. The bike share concept report, a table of bike share programs illustrating different programs in the United States, and then a preliminary map where we could implement bike share. We have also consulted with local cities and stakeholders. We had a one-day symposium here in the MTA where we invited several cities that have implemented bike share to present and discuss with local stakeholders. Today also we have the industry outside where they were showing to people, et cetera, what a bike, the bikes that are used in bike share. Sherazad is here, and Lynn Goldsmith, if you want us to proceed with the presentation, we'll do so. And I really want to thank Lynn and Sherazad for working on this very important project. Thank you.
Thank you. So we do have a presentation prepared. I don't know, in the interest of time, if you'd like.
If there are no objections, I'd like to just move to the action, because we have a committee that was supposed to start at 2:30. Not your fault, not my fault, but we're running late. So
no, of course. So basically we're asking the board to approve our bike share strategy, which Diego alluded to, but in fact we're requesting or we will be going out to bid for a bike share implementation strategic plan, strategic and implementation plan with existing financial resources that are already budgeted in FY12 for bike share. We would like to convene a working group comprised of the three initial areas that we're focusing on implementing bike share, as well as other jurisdictions within the county with an interest in bike share. I'm just going to give you the highlights. In previous calls for projects, we have funded the cities of Los Angeles, Long Beach, and Santa Monica for bike share programs. Some of the funds are coming in future years, so we would like to take a look at how we can advance those funds so that we can implement or deploy these programs earlier rather than later. We did a heat map based on several key criteria having to do with density, and lo and behold, the same basic three jurisdictions. It just reiterated our move earlier in the process to actually fund these projects. Those three, Santa Monica, LA, and Long Beach, have arisen to the top in terms of good candidates for bike share. So we have some funds available for the capital portion of, or the cities do, for the capital portion of bike share. It's critical for us to forge a path forward that's collaborative with the jurisdictions, because Metro's responsibilities and authorities are rather limited when it comes to bike share. They need to be implemented within jurisdictions. So I'm sorry, I'm trying to cut the chase here. But so the working group, and we're going to go out to bid for the strategic plan, and then come back to you when we have
more. I have representatives from all three cities who'd like to speak, so let's give them each a minute to speak, and if there are other questions, we can move forward.
Okay.
Is it Alan Crossfire from Long Beach? To be followed by Dennis Woods from South Pasadena, and then Lucy Dyke of Santa Monica.
Alan Crawford, bike coordinator for the city of Long Beach. I would just like to thank Metro for the tremendous job that they are doing in helping us coordinate these programs. It's vital from Long Beach's perspective that someone be able to get a bike share in Long Beach, ride it to our Metro Blue Line, get on the Blue Line without the bike, get off here at Union Station, and then grab another bike. The system has to be seamless. And yet we're going to send out RFPs as three separate cities. So that coordination is vital. And again, Metro has played just a tremendous role in helping us get there today. So we support the effort. Thank you.
Thank you. Dennis Woods from South Pasadena.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Dennis Woods, City of South Pasadena. I've had the esteemed opportunity to work with your staff on mobility plans from Marina Del Rey to the San Gabriel Valley, from Santa Monica to Fontana. And in all of those cases, we have looked at mobility that will really increase movement within the city for both people and goods. Recently, the City of South Pasadena passed its master bicycle plan, and that plan really had three distinct things. One was to provide an option to improve health. Two was short-term and long-term mobility using the Metro system. And lastly, to reduce carbon offsets. We would support this bike share plan because as we move forward to implementing our plan, lessons learned from those cities that are currently funded, we can use in our city then in the future to bring a bike sharing program to the San Gabriel Valley. Thank you.
Thank you. Lucy Dyke from City of Santa Monica.
I came out here because this work and the work that your staff and you have done, you all have done, is very important to the city, but I'm just going to sit down instead of giving any remarks because your time.
Thank you so very much. And if there are no objections, the strategy is approved. Next item on the agenda, number 18, I-210 truck origin and destination study.
Yes, Madam Chair. This one is a receive and file report that staff would be happy to forego the presentation, the PowerPoint presentation for you on. We have been asked to look at origin and destination of trucks on the 210 between the 134 and 605. There's a report with files in it and maps on that. My thanks to Teresa Fong of staff, who did a great job. We'd either take any questions and be happy if there's any follow-up questions by any of the directors or their board staff to answer them as they come up.
Any questions?
Nope.
No objection. We'll receive and file. Oh, don't. No, no, we don't. We won't receive and file. First, we'll hear from Dr. Tom Williams.
Back, buddy.
Then we
will
action.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council. 210 trucks, but Skaggs has already modeled current and projected 2035 truckloads on the 210. What's the difference between their model results? I don't know. Did the 210 study by MTA incorporate the model requirements, model inputs, model approach of Skaggs? It's not indicated. Supposedly, they don't go beyond just the current origin destinations, and the issue will be the 2035 origin destinations. But Skaggs models the current origin destinations and the traffic loads on the 210 between the 710 and the 605. How do they differ? How are they the same? Question. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. No objections. We'll receive and file and move on to item number 19, short-range transportation plan. And my understanding is the staff is reporting back with a schedule for creating this document, which they estimate will be ready in June of 2013. And there are pieces of it which will be presented sooner, such as the financials. Is that correct?
Yes, we have an 18-month schedule. The short-range plan will basically look at the first 10-year slice of the long-range plan. You had asked us to respond to various financial issues. The long-range plan-related financial issues will be coming back next month in a separate report, and we've talked a little bit about operations and maintenance and state of good repair that you'd requested information on. We understand that it's the board's point that we consider all of these things throughout the process and integrate them into the short-range plan, so that point's understood by staff. Okay. And that's pretty well it. We have both the schedule and as well as an outline of the document.
Okay, if there are no objections, we'll receive and file. Next item, regional rail update. Can I hear that?
Madam Chair, with the interest of my...
Sure, yeah.
Okay, Don Sepulveda, Executive Officer, Regional Rail. The interest of time and all that, you received my report. I did want to highlight one thing. High-Speed Rail Authority has officially dropped the I-5 grapevine alignment as of last week.
Okay.
The alignment they are studying is through Palmdale, so all the efforts of the board were effective, and it worked. So with that, if there's any questions that the committee has on the Regional Met Rail report.
I'll just add back on from a Metrolink perspective that making a lot of progress. Metrolink has a new $10 weekend pass that allows you to travel as many times as you want throughout the system for that one $10 purchase. All five counties, and has a program for a $3 per student program so that schools can take advantage of the trains in order to take kids on field trips and stuff like that. So it's a reduction for a $3 round-trip ticket for a kid. So there's a lot of innovative programs going on there.
Thank you. Malcolm Klugman.
I picked up the packet yesterday that of agenda items for today. It didn't include 15, which is high-speed rail. So I'm going to give my high-speed rail thing now. Right, if you may remember, the governor of California is the former mayor of Oakland. And the lieutenant governor is the former mayor of San Francisco. And I'm going to bet you that somewhere they're sitting there going, hey, this high-speed rail thing isn't going well. Let's do a demonstration project and connect Sacramento to the Bay Area, because that would be perfect for them. Well, instead, why don't we do what I've asked you before? Connect L.A. to San Diego in a high-speed train in an hour with a stop in Anaheim. You will get huge amounts of ridership. That will convince people in Washington that high-speed rail was serious out here, much more than a line between Bakersfield and Franklin. Let's do one and use South Carolina. Create jobs here.
Thank you. No objections, receive and file. And thank you for your attention. That concludes our... Oh, what did I forget? I'm sorry. I missed. Oral report on highway program project budget. I'm sorry. We're not through.
Madam Chair, you know, this is a very lengthy PowerPoint that we propose to do monthly, like we give you updates on all the transit projects. I'm happy to wait till next month.
Okay.
But it's important that you know that both the independent project office, Brian Boudreau and his staff, are working together to make sure we monitor what we're doing on the highway side as well.
Thank you very much. Dr. Williams wanted to speak.
Again, your highway program, and sorry, Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council, your highway program presumes a lot of things, but given the Technical Advisory Committee's meeting this morning on 710, it's all going to be changed for the 710 corridor and the related areas. There's a question as to how many people are going to be in the public participation. How many cities? How many groups? So it's going to be a much larger budget requirement than what is estimated right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. Now, you have anything you want to say? CEO report.
No, thank you.
All right. We're done. We approved. We deferred 21. Meeting is concluded. Thank you. You can get the next chair and do it faster. Just listen to you.